Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
You are listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. This is Ron Culver sitting in the captain's chair. Oh,
and loving every
sitting
darn
in the
second.
Captain's chair. Our illustrious commander-in-chief has taken some time off. And he is
We do
away
miss him, though.
Vacation.
I'm going to say, you're doing a great job stepping in for him. But I do miss the original boss, the OG. But I like the new G.
The way I look at it, someone just needs to keep the seat warm. And that's all I'm doing. I'm a seat filler. You know when you're watching the Oscars and a guy won the award, he goes up on stage, but when they pan back to the crowd, there are no empty seats. Or like when
you
have a whole group of people, like, hey, they won the best picture and there's like 30 people going up to accept the award for best picture.
They have people that they shoot in there to sit in those seats?
Oh yeah, seat fillers. That's all I am. I am SB Nation Radio's seat filler, official seat filler for Mr. David Gao.
No, I would rephrase that to seat filler extraordinaire.
Your words, not
mine. There we
mine.
Go. That's right. I'm going to give it to you. You're doing a great job.
I might get one of those director's chairs that actually say that now. Seat filler extraordinaire, my name.
Dubbed by the gloss.
Exactly. But I will put it in lights because I there's an overwhelming need to see my name.
You need to be a little glossy.
Quick
anyway.
Sports update, because I know all you guys care out there. My son is still 0-0 on the season. We're getting an update here. This is a quick update. He just stole home.
Yes!
His team, the Tigers, are up 1-0.
Because of your
son.
Because
he stole home. Little Jackie Robinson in him. I didn't realize that. That's what I'm envisioning. Oh. I'm sure it wasn't as picturesque and beautiful as when Jackie Robinson stole home in the, I think it was like the 50, late 50s, early 60s World Series, that iconic image of him coming across.
It's a
all stretched
great
out.
Image.
That's how I'm
Give
picturing.
Give Caden some credit.
That's how I'm picturing him right now. He was coming across in that same exact position.
He was channeling his inner Jackie. I'm
inner
feeling
Jackie
it for
Robinson.
You. I'm
That's
feeling
That's my little go-getter. So for all you guys out there, he walked on pitches. The powerhouse pitcher could not strike him out. He stole home. 1-0, Tigers.
All right, go Caden. That's the most important.
Coming up next, we got a special interview. We're going to be talking to
so
Niners legend Randy Cross.
Woo!
I wonder what he thinks about the current state of offensive linemen.
Can't wait to hear.
We will talk about that next. You're listening to The Boss and Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back into The Boss and the Gloss. I am the boss tonight. I am filling in for our illustrious boss, David Gao. And, you know, it's been kind of fun, you know, wearing this
don't
throne.
Don't get used to this.
Or sitting
I'm
on the throne wearing this crown.
Over here.
This has been amazing. With us right now, we have a very special guest, a 3-time Pro Bowler, 3-time first team. I mean, I can keep going on. 3-time Super Bowl champion.
Let's not forget.
College Football Hall of Fame. Randy Cross, in charge of protecting probably one of the greatest quarterbacks in our generation. Randy, thank you so much for taking some time tonight.
Thank you. Thank you. And not to correct you on things, but I will. The greatest quarterback of all time.
I agree with you, Randy. I'm not gonna argue on that.
I'm not sugarcoating it either. I am 100% with you. I mean, I admire everything that Tom Brady has done, but I think given
Joe Cool, the comeback kid.
Yeah,
come on.
Yep. He never threw an interception in a Super Bowl. Never lost a game. Never got caught cheating doing it. I could go on, but I won't.
Well, you know, actually, Randy, that is one of the questions I wanted to ask you. Playing with Joe Montana, like, what do you see? And you started to get into a little bit compared to today's quarterbacks and their styles, what can make us appreciate Joe Cool even more?
Well, I think the most significant difference, because, you know, you can make an argument, and I think if you make the argument, you'd probably be right, that today's quarterbacks throw the ball as well, if not better, than most any other group of quarterbacks that have ever played the game, mainly because they've grown up doing it. I mean, they've been in high school offenses and college offenses, pro offenses, where they throw 30, 40, 50 times a game. So they're really, really good at it. And if you add the fact that nowadays they can't be touched, especially if they're of that elite status, you know, you can barely breathe on them and you're going to get a penalty. That's the thing that I'm sure guys like, you know, Joe and Warren Moon and some of the other Hall of Fame types, you know, even Phil Simms and Rippon and some of those guys that face some pretty good defenses, they have to watch the game today and kind of chuckle when they see what, you know, roughing the quarterback is amounts to nowadays. Because, you know, the fact that some of these guys survived and they're the double digits and, you know, mid-teens as far as years in their careers is nothing short of just an amazing thing that is a testament to their toughness.
So who, in your opinion, then, out of, say, the young quarterbacks, the guys who've been drafted the last couple of years, whether it be like a Marcus Mariota or a Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, or
Deshaun Watson,
or even the incoming class of quarterbacks, do you see any similarities? Anyone who could not replicate what Joe Montana was able to do, but do you see anyone who can be somewhat similar?
Well, you have to remember, you know, when we won the Super Bowl in January of 85 against the Dolphins, and, you know, there's been, heck, since then, probably decades or generations of people that have said Marino's the best thrower of the ball they've ever seen, him or Elway. But in that Super Bowl at Stanford, Joe had a Super Bowl record for rushing yards that wasn't broken for about, I think, 30 years or so, maybe 40 years, 30 years. So it's mobility. I think the ability to not only move, but also to move to throw. That's highly, highly underrated. And I think that's one thing when you watch Deshaun Watson, you know, obviously before his injury, but the thing that you watched kind of almost before your eyes, him develop that ability. Not that he didn't do it at Clemson some, but man, with Houston, he really seemed to be getting that whole concept of when you move, you know, move with the mission of buying yourself time to throw the ball. And it's something that, you know, I think Roethlisberger, especially in the first 10 years or so of his career, kind of developed into an art form. But, you know, the young guys, I love Jared Goff. I love Carson Wentz. You know, we gotta keep these guys healthy. That'd be a great thing.
Number one.
But, you know, I'm a big fan of Deshaun Watson. I like guys like Lamar Jackson in this draft and Mayfield. You know, not so much Darnold and Rosen, but, you know, I think the guys that can move early on in your career, it's invaluable, because, you know, guys that move usually go fairly high, and guys that go fairly high usually go to teams that don't protect the quarterback very well. And you better be able to move if you're going to live.
No, it's so true, Randy. And you brought up the point of Deshaun Watson. I mean, yes, he was forced to move a lot more with the Texans' very porous O-line than he was at Clemson. So question for you. You know, as a center and a guard in the league with your whole career with the 49ers, what do you think nowadays? It seems there are so many subpar offensive lines, and everyone's looking for that left tackle. Why is there a shortage of lines that can really protect the quarterback? Is it training? Is it college isn't preparing? What is it? Or is it just flat out it's not a sexy position that people don't try to, you know, master?
Well, part of it, and I love the question, because, you know, I think it's something that we're going to have to face in football more and more as, you know, the physical violence starts to get almost legislated out of the game. You know, for instance, three-point stances. How many linemen are used to being in a three-point stance in college, mm-hmm. much less in high school, much less in the pros? So, you know, they're truly more defensive than they are offensive. They're not assertive. They don't go after people. They absorb. And, you know, I think you have, when you look at how many teams in the league make offensive line a priority, you know, hey, mm-hmm. you can count those on one hand, especially from a pay standpoint. You know, Seattle did that for a period of time, and that got them to a couple Super Bowls, but then they had to make a decision. We're going to pay this line, or are we going to pay our defense, which over the next couple of years we're going to have to deal with? And that's sort of the catch-22 we've seen over X number of years. I mean, the only team that's done it effectively has been New England, and that's only because they've had a guy like Dante Scarnecchia who can coach that position as well as anybody that's ever done it.
Joe Montana, Dan
Marino, yeah.
All those guys would probably, or you know, would love to play in this NFL. Do you think with the penalties against, you know, hitting, roughing the quarterback, or even, you know, sneezing on a quarterback, do you think that plays an influence on, you know, maybe we don't need to bolster the offensive line as much?
Well, I guess that's the rationalization, but you know, how many Super Bowls would Seattle have won if they could have protected Russell Wilson?
Mm-hmm.
Or and just could have kept Marshawn and kept Marshawn Lynch in that pounding running game.
Or just run the ball
that whole offense.
Fourth and one.
yeah. I mean, so it's you know, I'm a big fan of prioritizing, you know, certain positions. I learned that from my guy, Bill Walsh, that mm-hmm. pounded that kind of into our brains, you know, as far as quarterbacks and linemen that can move and cornerbacks and pass rushers, and there's certain things you got to have, and you augment and add around that. And, yeah, I firmly believe not enough teams in the league do that.
You know, quick question for you, Randy, about the 49ers taking, you know, Bill Walsh left them in great shape, and now they've got new execs with second-year GM now, John Lynch, second-year head coach Kyle Shanahan. Do you like what they're doing, and do you think San Francisco's headed in the right direction?
I definitely think they're heading in the right direction. I thought, you know, for all the criticism that Jed York and that organization took, you know, a lot of it from guys like me, they made a fabulous decision when they hired John Lynch, then they hired Kyle Shanahan. And probably the smartest thing they did from a stability standpoint is they gave them both six-year contracts.
I thought the same thing. That was really amazing.
Yeah, so when you see that, you go, well, wow, they're committed to these people. Because if they're not, they're going to be paying them for a long time. But the job that Lynch has done, sort of reestablishing that team, and he's got a good ways to go. You know, at the line of scrimmage, he's got mm-hmm. a good ways to go mm-hmm. on the defensive line. He's got to establish that team a little bit more assertively when it comes to talent at wide receiver, which they may answer here in the draft, as well as maybe another running back or two besides McKinnon. But, you know, with Garoppolo at quarterback, there is nothing that says that can't be a contending team with a few extra adds around it for, you know, what's a long time these days, 4 or 5 years? So yeah. In the league, if you're going to establish yourself long-term, it's for those 4 or 5, and I like them for that period.
We've been talking with former Super Bowl, but I'm trying to remember all the different numbers, but four-time Super Bowl champion Randy Cross, spent his entire career with the Niners. Randy, one final question before we do got to get going here.
Mm-hmm.
How's your bracket looking?
You know, mercifully, for the first time in a long time, I didn't touch it. I didn't do a dang bracket.
You picked the right year not to do it.
But you know what? Isn't this a great argument for the crowd that wants, like, 12-team playoffs and whatnot for football?
Sure.
We need it.
We're going to have the best example of who's the best team in college basketball. Well, regular season or by the time the tournament was over?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you're going to have two champions because you're going to have the best team in the country and the one that survives. So I look forward to the day that the NFL and major college football looks at this whole thing and says, you know what, more is not better.
Yeah, I can't agree more. I can't wait for the day we have at least you know, expand it to 8 teams.
Randy,
you know,
you're a persuasive guy. You get going on that. I'm in your camp for that one for sure.
Hey, four four for the for college football is just fine. I mean, the playoffs last year, we identified the best team.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, you know what? NFL's got it pretty good. We don't need to. This doesn't need to be hockey. We don't need to get half the teams in the damn league.
Exactly.
Or the NBA, which does that too, right?
Yeah.
Randy, can't thank you enough for taking some time tonight.
All right, guys. No, anytime.
Right. Thanks for being with us, Randy.
It was my pleasure back in the day at Candlestick Park. It was a great time.
Well, you gave us so many great moments. Thank you so much. Take care.
Bye-bye. That was Randy Cross. Obviously, you know, one of the great offensive linemen to have ever played the game, protected Joe Cool, the, you know, he, in his opinion, the greatest quarterback ever. And we can't really argue that.
I cannot argue with that. And it just shows you, too, all of Joe's teammates have the same reverence and passion for him that Randy Cross showed, which I think is really cool. We didn't get to mention that Randy Cross is a Hall of Famer, 2011 mm-hmm. inductee. And you're not going to believe this one, Ron. He holds the Crespi High School record in shot put.
Yes, he does.
67 feet, 6.5 inches with a 12-pound shot. Don't mess with Randy.
Don't mess with Randy.
Don't cross Randy Cross. That's what I'm saying.
Exactly. Well, don't cross us either. We have plenty more to go. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gal and Carla Dawson.
Looking for quality auto parts for your vehicle? Shop O'Reilly Auto Parts. You'll find they have convenient locations, thousands of brand name parts in stock, extended store hours, everyday low prices, and well-trained professional parts people. We think you'll agree that O'Reilly is the auto parts store you can depend on. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day.
I agree. Go O'Reilly.
Now, it almost wants me to break out in song.
It really does. I'm waiting for a little jingle to come now.
I will save the masses. Randy Cross.
Oh, my gosh. I'm still flush.
That conversation, I think, could have gone on another 15 minutes, and I think he would have been okay with that.
I know. I think he liked us, Ron.
You know,
I know I like him. I've always liked him. He is a...
Even though he was on the wrong team?
I know. I couldn't tell him.
If this is your first time listening and you don't know Carla Dawson, she is a Raiderette. She is the Princess of Darkness. Obviously, Randy Cross was on the wrong side of the bay in her eyes, but
I can still appreciate talent. And the team that he played on, the Bill Walsh coach team, three-time Super Bowl teams with Joe Montana, Randy Cross, Dwight Clark. I mean, these are just legendary
legends
teams.
Legends of the game.
And you appreciate talent, whether or not you're a Princess of Darkness or a 49er fan. You just appreciate talent. And he's a huge talent.
Yeah, we got to get him on. But he said a lot of interesting things. I mean, we got into some offensive line talk with him. We got into some quarterback talk with him. I mean, if you think about, obviously, you know, first thing he did out of the gate was correct me.
Well, I love that. That was funny.
About who the greatest quarterback
is. Taking down the boss on air.
You know what? But, hey, I recognize superiority. I think what Tom Brady has done is amazing. But I think if, you know, like he said, given the rules now, had they been applied then where you couldn't even sneeze on a quarterback without being – or now you can't even sneeze on a quarterback without getting a penalty flag, then you could hit him all you want. I just imagine what Joe Montana, given that much time, what he could have done with a receiver like Jerry Rice or John Taylor or Dwight Clark mm-hmm. or, you know, throwing it out of the backfield to Roger Craig. I mean, these were all weapons that –
They were weapons. That's exactly right.
Tailor-made for now.
And I love, too, what he said, though. Do you remember when, in reference to Tom Brady, when he was correcting you about who's the greatest of all time, as in Joe Montana, he said Joe didn't cheat either. So he did slip that in there.
He threw that in there.
I don't blame him.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't going to embellish on it.
Nope. 'Cause
I honestly don't know if Tom has cheated or not. I'm not, you know, it's not for me to say who he is.
Do you not think it's weird that his cell phone was just destroyed when they needed it most? I just want to ask you that. All of a sudden, the cell phone's destroyed.
If I had some things on my cell phone that I wouldn't want other people to see, I would might destroy it as well.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Robert, if you had things on your cell phone that no one else you wouldn't want to share with anyone else? Would you accidentally drop it in the bathtub?
If I order for me to win my 6th Super Bowl ring? my 5th Super Bowl ring.
You're chucking it into a lake.
I couldn't get the 6th one, but yeah, I would have.
Yeah. You're sitting there telling the judge, I don't know how it ended up in the middle of the lake. I mean,
duly
I was
noted,
walking
Robert.
Along, but I guess a fish just took
Ms. Carla,
it and swam.
Ms. Carla, I know we bond.
We bond.
Please don't take that the wrong way.
I'm not going to because you're my guy, Robert. We bond in Deshaun. We're big Deshaun fans over here.
I was going to bring that up. Here, we are based in Houston. You know, this is a national sports show, but we are based in Houston. So we're hoping to see the next coming quarterback, the future rising star of the quarterback. And even Randy Cross, he even mentioned that, you know, when I asked him, like, who do you think compares to Joe Montana? You know, obviously no one's going to be, you know, replicate what Joe Montana was able to do. I don't think we're in an era anymore where
The era is different. You're exactly
right. Yeah,
where
somebody can go, you know, 4 for 4 with being Super Bowl MVPs and never throw an interception in any Super Bowl or playoff game.
Some crazy, crazy info there. Honestly.
But, you know, it's like just who has that same mentality that's
kind of the aura
of Joe Montana, and you know, gave him the whole game. I said, you know, could it be Carson Wentz, Jared Goff? What about one of these new guys like a Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield? Well, we know Baker Mayfield's not going to be calm and cool under pressure, pick was Deshaun Watson,
which made me so happy. Do you love that, Robert?
Oh, of course. And when you look at it, we didn't get to see Deshaun Watson play a full season.
No, we saw 7 games, not even seven full games.
7 spectacular games, even though we lost 4 of those 7. But to still say that he compares to the great Joe Montana, that's saying a lot right there.
No, it's so true.
So we
and
get
in the
see
words
him.
Of the great Michael Jordan, the ceiling is the roof for Deshaun Watson.
And the roof is on fire. But let me do, Robert, you did. Okay, yeah. Well, anyway, he did. We did lose 4 of those games, but Deshaun didn't lose 4 of those games.
Yeah, he didn't. Yeah, the defense. And that's where it comes in with Tyrann Mathieu and another cornerback from Jacksonville that will add value to the team. So
exactly.
We just got to see. Just got to wait and see.
We're going to have to wait and see. He is coming off an ACL injury. We need some major protection. We've gotten some linemen in Houston, but need a left tackle.
And I think at the same time, if we're going to stick to the Texans real quick, the defense needs to stay healthy. I am so excited to see what this defense could do. We can talk all we want about what the Rams had the best defense last year. They added more key players to,
and they're talking to Ndamukong Suh as well.
That would be nuts.
Wow.
But you know what? You
added a couple cornerbacks.
The Texans, you guys had a really decent defense last year, and that was without J.J. Watt, and that was without Whitney Mercilus. Mm-hmm. Now you're getting both of those guys back. Hopefully they can
and
stay
And it was
healthy.
Out without Brian Cushing and, as well.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah,
they're
now
gonna
it
be,
is.
They're going to be without Brian Cushing and his, you know, PED use for the rest of their years. So. But then they go out and they get the Honey Badger. And the Honey Badger, I mean, today he said it. Perfectly.
He did.
He's
I love
just going
it.
To sit in the backfield, and he's just going to watch. I think he's going to be the biggest fan. He's going to have the best seats watching what Clowney and Watt can do and what Mercilus, what this defense, what this front 7 can do. Tyrann Mathieu has the best seats.
No, he really does. He really does. And I love what he said, too, is he wanted – because he had several suitors, obviously, because he signed a 1-year, $7 million deal with the Texans. He's betting on himself, and he's saying, I'm going to ball out in 2018, and I'm going to earn my money. He wanted to go to a place that has potential and that they want it. They're motivated. And I love that he saw that in the Texans.
Well, no, of course. He took less money. Arizona offered him more. The team that he was with, the team that drafted him, the team that has groomed who he is, you know, has made the Honey Badger better, offered him more money and a longer contract. And he was like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah,
but
because
he's smart.
You know, he sees what's Arizona doing. I mean,
they're rebuilding.
They're rebuilding. And hopefully, I mean, the Texans still are putting pieces together. But I think the brilliance that everyone was able to see in basically 6.5 games of Deshaun Watson, it's just the excitement of what he can do. I mean, knock on wood, he stays healthy. But he's smart. He's got the it factors. He's got the team behind him. He's got the city behind him. He's our franchise guy.
Real quick, I just want to spend 2 seconds. I want to spend 2 seconds on this. You had mentioned it before we got on air, or right before we came back from this break, the Jets trade. The Jets trading away pretty much everything they have
to Indy
for the number 3 overall pick.
To move up 3 spots from number 6 to number 3.
We got our bonehead move, gentlemen and ladies.
It's very Jetsy. But they must have a certain QB they want.
God, I hope he becomes the next Joe Montana.
They better hope so.
What did you just say? What the hell?
It's time for He Said, She Said on The Boss and the Gloss.
Well, this is exciting. This is a treat. Normally, I'm on that side of the glass. You know, I've had all
feeding
queued
us
up.
All the
I'm
info.
Feeding you the audio. Tonight, Robert is feeding us the audio, which is, this is kind of fun. So I get to comment.
Robert's a mission control.
He is. No one I would trust more.
I'm with you.
To have his finger on the button than Robert.
Thank you, guys. That means so much to me.
And it's the truth, Robert.
So in a Mr. Gowless, he said, she said, I will play the part of he.
And I'll stick with she.
Okay, works for
me. I'm glad we're not going to switch that around, Ron. I think that wouldn't go over so well.
So, like we were mentioning before, we were talking free agency. Quarterbacks have changed all over the place. They've, you know, it was mind-blowing the amount of changeover. I mean, Minnesota had 3 quarterbacks last year. All 3 of those quarterbacks were on different teams.
They're gone. And they had 3 good quarterbacks on their team.
3 good quality quarterbacks. And the one who I think is the worst of the lot is the one who's getting paid the most. I don't get it. That part did not make sense to me. But with that being said.
And you remember the first quarterback to go was Tyrod Taylor from the Bills to the Browns.
Exactly.
I didn't see that coming
at all. No,
no
one did. I'm hoping I can get this quarterback's name right. I know his first name is Case. Actually, you know what? Let's just hear the audio. I might need help.
With that being said, I'd like to introduce you to the new starting quarterback of the Denver Broncos, Case Keenum. I'm sorry.
Oh.
I don't even know where to go with that. I mean, talk about, maybe it's one, I mean, it's obviously.
Is this a perennial backup? Is this what a perennial backup has to deal with? They can't, they're guaranteeing this guy $25 million and the GM, John Elway, a quarterback himself, cannot get the name
right.
Here's
the thing, here's what you don't know, Carlos.
Okay, tell me. Help me with this.
Elway's putting the shoulder pads back on. Case Keesum,
you know he wants to.
Case Keesum is going to be his backup. Elway's going to be out there. He's going to lead his team to victory. Case Keesum will be the backup.
Oh,
I might
my
need
gosh.
To check John for like CTE or something. I mean, like,
well,
he
right.
wasn't even close. Well, he was close, just one letter off, but geez,
but Keesum doesn't even sound like
this
Keenum.
This is a quarterback that you just signed, like, to help save your franchise.
And he, do you remember the beginning part of that presser was, We have our guy. We have known for a long time. We've got our guy. I mean, it was just build up. And it is Case Keesum?
You were tricked because you two drank the Kool-Aid thinking, you know what, they've watched a lot of game film. No, they watched probably the playoff series and that was it. That was it. And Elway sat back. And I agree with you, Robert. I think there might be a little CTE. We might need to go in. He might be due for his CAT scan.
I think it was that pass to Stephon Diggs versus New Orleans in the playoffs. And, yep.
That did
that's
it.
That's our guy right there.
That's our guy. See, he can make that throw all the time.
He can say, there's my case for Case. I'm taking him.
That's your case. That's your case for Keesum.
Case for
Case. that's not a good look.
Well, not a good look.
Mm. All right, on to the next.
He did apologize, though. He said, sorry.
Well, he corrected very quickly.
Yes.
I'm sure that, you know, he might have had a little something in his ear saying, no, Keenum, say Keenum, you messed up. Keenum.
Forever memorialized.
All right, so we've done a lot with March Madness, and we could talk about a lot of the stars of this tournament, but none is bigger. You like
yes.
what I did there?
I love
none
it.
None is bigger than 98-year-old... None, Sister Jean,
Sister Jean. Her team
is Loyola Chicago.
The Ramblers.
The Ramblers. Can we call them the Running Ramblers?
Absolutely.
Running.
They're running right into the Sweet 16.
I'm trying to work none as many times as I can.
The None and Ramblers.
And I might have gotten in trouble earlier. This is a true story. I might be struck by lightning on my way home because of the way I was talking about.
I know
Loyola Chicago cheating and this nun cheating.
Mm.
But she
don't
she is,
mess with the sister.
She is a superstar. Let's hear from her.
And I'm going to tell them when we pray to on Thursday that as I did the other day when we played Tennessee. We're confident, we're calm, and we play with our heads and with our hearts. And we need God's help, but we'll very much so, but we will do our part too in playing the way the coaches have taught us.
You know what? I might definitely be going downstairs because the first thing when I'm listening to this, the first image that I have in my mind is I'm trying to remember the character's name from Saturday Night Live, but Stewart something, where he would look into a mirror and just go, "You're strong, you're powerful, and doggone it, people like you."
This is blasphemy, Ron. Sister Jean is after your bracket.
Hey,
let me tell you, it's going
to
be ugly for you after next weekend.
I'm allowed to say these things.
Okay, well, so did I.
I went to a Catholic school. I didn't finish,
and
but I went to a Catholic school.
Pumping up Sister Jean. Look what she's doing to those Ramblers.
She has a sense of humor.
She's epic.
I love her.
Let's mention she's in a wheelchair. I mean, 98.
God, now I'm really going downstairs.
Oh, yeah. We're not even, yeah.
Mm. Sorry to say, this is my last time being the boss on the boss in the gloss. Or it just,
well, the boss upstairs might be taking care of you, Ron.
You only have like 14 minutes or so. So, I mean,
that's true. That's true.
Just kind of lay off the jokes a little bit.
You know, well, maybe the bad humor here will, you know, negate the fact of me, you know, breaking Mr. Gal's Dallas Cowboys coffee mug.
Oh, don't go there. That's almost worse than dissing Sister Jean.
I know. See, I'm just hoping.
It's close.
Here's the only thought I'm hoping.
That is
I'm
sacred.
Hoping that he's listening right now and hears that.
It's a different
and,
kind of
you know,
sacred.
Gasp and, you know, is already drafting my
your resignation letter.
No, well, not my resignation. It wouldn't be
your
my
firing.
Resignation. My firing letter, just so when he comes back and sees that it's still intact. I'm kidding. I didn't touch your mug. I would never touch that mug.
Well,
that
Sister Jean might have a different type of fire for
maybe
you, if you know what I'm
maybe
saying.
Maybe that's how God will get back at me.
That's
he will
right.
break the mug and then say, you know, blame it on me. Because I was the boss for 2 hours.
Don't touch Sister.
All right. What a run for the Ramblers, though. I don't mean to cut you off, Ron, but to how they won those
two games.
It's
probably good that you cut me off.
It's amazing.
How they won those two games in the last few seconds of each game, that's crazy. Maybe she's like a lucky charm to them, you know?
I think she really is.
Is that a short joke? I'm sorry.
Oh, Ron is going straight south.
Yeah, he's going
There's
down,
no
man.
Purgatory for this
he's
guy.
Going down.
Just
straight
trying
down,
to bring
Ron.
Someone with me. Come on, Robert. It's not that hot down there.
No, Robert is right to really give a shout out to the Ramblers from Loyola,
Chicago.
And,
you know,
all kidding aside,
I mean, the way they've been playing, it has been inspiring. I knew from when the seedings came out, I never really thought of them as an 11 seed. I thought they deserved much more respect than that. But since they come from a smaller conference, they're not going to get mm-hmm. the respect they mm-hmm. deserve. I see this team going far. I'm just torn. I wish they were playing against somebody else because, you know, friend of the show, Coach Eric
Musselman. I know.
Musselman,
it's tough with Nevada.
That's who their opponent is next.
But think about this matchup. Sin City versus Sister Jean. Ooh, this could be epic.
You can only wish that it was in Nevada.
Do you know, I want to give a shout out to the players on the Loyola Chicago team. Do you know when they end the game, do you see where they go? They go right to Sister Jean in her wheelchair. She's on like a little platform by the side of the court. They know who's sending those prayers out. She's got a direct line.
She is very inspiring. Nothing but mad respect for her. And, you know, I mean, and she's a terrific scout.
She's a great scout.
I got to give credit where credit's due. She's been helping, you know, the Ramblers through all of this, you know, probably giving the coach a little pointers here and there. She knows her basketball.
Well, she does. And, you know, Tennessee is known as a very tall team. The Ramblers are not. And do you know what she told them? She said, height doesn't mean that much. This is the pregame talk. She says, you're good jumpers. You're good rebounders. You're good at everything. So just keep that in mind. Love it.
Gotta love her. Moving on to he said, she said, number three, New Orleans Pelicans head coach Alvin Gentry. Hit it.
That being said, I thought we did everything we could to try to win the game. That's a great team down there. They're a great team with a great player. You know, he's the MVP of the league. He's done everything to earn that. You know, his team got the best record. He's a closer. He comes up with big shots when he needs to. You know, and they got two guys, he and CP, that can close the game that are great, great players. And that's a great team down there, and Mike's done a great job coaching.
See, now a lot of people will hear this, or a lot of people think that Anthony Davis is one of the, I'm not going to say one of the front runners, but, you know, one of the individuals at the end of the season when we're going to be discussing NBA MVP, that the brow will be in the conversation.
He will. He will be in the discussion. I think he will.
But how much of a chance do you give for him to win? Not even his own head coach is saying, no, the MVP is right here in Houston.
Well, especially this presser was right after the Pelicans got beat by New Orleans this past weekend. And, you know, I loved what he said later on in the press conference when they were asked about Anthony Davis. You know, he said, well, I think the difference, I think Anthony Davis is outstanding, obviously, in MVP material, and his numbers have really picked up since Boogie Cousins went down in late January. But he said the differential, the 16-game differential between what Harden has done for the Rockets in, you know, 16 games behind is New Orleans. And he likened the same type of number separation that DeMar DeRozan gives Toronto from the rest of the field. And, I love a coach that can look at the bigger picture, that can look even just be very candid about what he sees in front of him. And that's taking nothing away from Anthony Davis.
No, absolutely. I mean, Anthony Davis, yeah, he's been an incredible player. I think New Orleans, the Pelicans, they would be a much better team had Boogie Cousins, you know, been able to stay healthy. That would be the one team I would hate to, for any team in the West, they would be a tough game or tough matchup for them because they have the two bigs. No one else really in the NBA really has something that can match up with them.
No, that's right.
And when those two guys are on, you have a really great team. Pelicans, I mean, honestly, they are one player away from challenging anybody in the NBA. And
yeah,
maybe that's
dangerous.
An off-season thing. But let's face it, you know, what James Harden has done this season with the Rockets, with, you know, the roster that they have, a bunch of no names, when, you know, and winning when Chris Paul was out.
And for then, 18 games. Chris Paul has missed 18 games.
And then even then, it's like, and for me right now, it's like, you know, I almost want to tell you to Mike D'Antoni, Mike, just bubble wrap Chris Paul. Put him on a shelf. Mm-hmm. Keep him outside. Mm-hmm. We don't need him anymore. They're in the playoffs. They're going to be fine. Warriors are all but, you know.
Oh, they're all banged up.
They're all banged up. Let's just, you know, let them be now. You know, let the Rockets, let the other guys kind of take over and figure out how to play as well.
Right.
But it's for me, it's James Harden's.
It's his to lose.
It's his to lose.
And I don't think he's going to lose it. I really don't.
And the only way he does lose it is if someone goes and Itanya's him. I think I think that's how he loses the MVP race, is if someone comes up and Itanya's him and the Rockets being in a tank and we forget about Harden and all of a sudden, you know, and if somebody else like, you know, Russell Westbrook goes on a tear or Anthony Davis goes on a tear or somebody from the Warriors stands out amongst the group that they have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And James Harden is completely out of the picture. That's the only way James Harden does not end up with the MVP trophy.
But I love Alvin Gentry said, it's not even close. He says, you know, what Anthony doesn't have, he doesn't have the wins that Harden and DeRozan have. And
right.
I can't take that. And it is, you know.
I'm not giving any credit to Toronto. Don't think about that team.
I know. I really do like DeMar DeRozan, but I think James Harden is the MVP.
So all right. And now, as tradition here with He Said, She Said.
Oh, David will be proud.
Mr.
Our boss
Gal,
will be proud.
Mr. Gal always wants to hear a soundbite with at least one beep. Now, I'm a little nervous about this because some of these, I know the clip that we're about to hear, and I'm hoping that you were able to get all of them, Robert. This is your job on the line, not mine, because I'm not at the controls tonight. But let's hear what Coach Musselman had to say.
Musselman in the locker room.
How about that?
People ask, what do you miss about coaching? I miss that right there. You can't get that feeling that he has anywhere.
Yeah, only 15 seconds of it. Only 15 seconds. It was some more dirty words down the line.
He threw quite a few F-bombs.
Yeah.
And but do you blame him? Let's be real about this.
Even as
someone who I don't appreciate swearing, listen, that was appropriate. They had just won an overtime thriller coming back from a 14-point deficit against the University of Texas. First win in the NCAA tournament in I don't know how many years. I mean, that was an exciting moment. And, you know, TBS is the one sitting there filming it all.
Listen, I mean, if you follow someone into a locker room,
it's raw emotion.
This is 101. I've told this to my guys here. It's like when you are recording someone in a locker room, if your guest is not talking, pod the mic down, because there's a lot of ambient noise that comes through when the host is talking.
A lot of beep moments,
and especially in a situation like that. I'm sure it was worse when they came back from 22 behind. to beat Cincinnati. I'm sure it was a lot worse. He came in shirtless. I was just going to say,
he was half naked. So, yeah, he added that, too.
You know the profanity was flying.
But let's look at how classy Eric Musselman is. Yes, I totally understand his raw emotion and those excited F-bombs to his guys. I mean, that was... I give him a hall pass on that for sure. And then the funny thing was, then they click, you know, right over to Greg Gumbel, who says, you know, we want to apologize for the colorful language. We have a very excited coach.
That's going to happen.
And Musselman, in his presser afterwards, the first thing he did, he said, first of all, I want to apologize for this. But I don't think he should have to apologize, honestly. I mean,
no, I don't think he has to either.
Come on. But he wasn't filming.
One thing I do have to apologize for is I wish we had a little bit more time for He Said, She Said, but we do have to step aside real quick. You're listening to The Boss and Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Well, I'm going to say it one final time.
You are the boss.
This is Ron Culver filling in for our commander-in-chief, our illustrious boss, the head honcho, the big cheese, the top dog of Gao Media, David Gao.
Smooth as silk.
Who is, you know, obviously enjoying some time off. I guess I'm going to have to turn in the shoes now.
Come on, you did a great job. I'll tell you. No. Boss extraordinaire.
No, Robert, you did a great job. You did fantastic.
Robert, you're
over
the
there.
Man, the myth, the legend. So
Thank
lucky
so
to have
much
you with
for,
us
for doing my job better than me. That makes it a little harder for me to go
say
back.
It, but
I want to thank Coach Pat Kennedy and Randy Cross for joining us tonight. Carla,
All-star
thank you
lineup.
For making this easy.
Ron, thank you for sacrificing Caden's first game of the season. He's having a good one.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.